Richard, we just took a break and watched the two music videos.
Yes, we did.
On the extras disc of FB7.
Yes.
What did you think?
I thought that the Virgin Story one was really, really great. If they had made FB7 like that, I would be all over FB7.
Then yeah, FB7 really would have been like Flashback.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's not a bad thing.
That's what we wanted.
But everyone compares FB7 to Flashback when it's nothing like Flashback.
Right.
Only people who have not seen it compare it to Flashback because they have no idea what people are describing.
Yeah.
Because it's impossible to describe unless you've actually seen it. Collection of clips. You know?
Right.
Oh, so it's like Flashback.
No, because if it had all been done like that, then, as you said, it would have been a real rock show.
And the way that was edited, you can tell that they really liked the show, right?
Right.
Whoever did it has obviously
cared and really worked hard to make it fit. So, I would say that the Virgin Story video was, like, way better than the movie itself.
Yeah, I would like to have seen that in the big screen.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Like a rock show.
It would have been just what Amino described, a rock show.
And the Nyan Nyan service
medley.
Dynamite
Gamelin's Revolution.
Remember submarines.
Spiral answer.
Spiral 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
That wasn't
bad either. But it wasn't as good as Virgin Story.
But it was an unexplored hangar.
Yes. It was an unexplored hangar.
Full of bad CG.
Yes. Unexplored hangar. That's important.
And it turned into the soundtrack to Donkey Kong Country.
At some point. Yeah, that was better. That was Donkey Kong Jr. So what Renato was actually saying, if we interpret it, was that we went and saw Macross Plus. So let's start off first with the three of us, because we went to the talk show. And
three of us meaning not including me.
Right, I'm sorry. We'll bring you back in a moment.
Okay.
You can sit in the corner and we'll give you the dunce cap and the Macross 2 manga.
I already have a Macross 2 manga. I bought it for 105 yen at Book Off.
Yeah, sounds about right. And recently bought all the novels for 1 yen each.
One yen each!
The postage was altogether was like 1,200 yen for me.
Yes,
and the books
were
like 1 yen each.
Yes, yes. It's like you're paying for the postage and getting the books free.
So anyways, they'd already, Renato, lined up for this Macross Plus theatrical screening. Two special guests. One, of course, being Kawamori, that guy.
Yeah.
And the other one being Isamu's voice actor, which would be Takumi Yamazaki.
Oh, I thought that they'd announced all of them. I actually wasn't paying attention.
Then the day, like literally the morning before the event, they announced there'd been some additions.
Okay.
The big addition, of course, being Gold's voice actor.
Ishizuka Unso?
Yes. And Tenjin as the MC. Now, so we had quite a few guests. It was, how long would you say they talked for?
I actually checked. It was about 40 minutes or so.
Hmm. Now, I've been to a lot of these talk shows, like the Budai Aisatsu kind of things. And as far as these talk shows go, it started off slow, I thought. The interesting thing, though, was that Ishizuka, Gold's voice actor, this Macross Plus was his first voice acting role. He's normally an actor, not a voice actor.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was really clear, became really clear in the way he remembered things.
When you say actor, he's a stage actor.
He's a stage actor, right.
He's not a TV actor or anything like that either. And he wasn't cast through audition.
Right. Kawamori said, I chose you because your voice is cool.
Okay, yeah.
So he didn't audition or anything. Whereas
Yamazaki Takumi
had to audition, and he is Well, looking at both of the guys, what, 18 years on?
Yeah.
Gold sounds more like Gold. Isamu no longer sounds anything like Isamu.
No. He can make the voice.
Still. I know, but like just his natural speaking voice.
I don't think he ever sounded like Isamu's natural speaking voice, though. I think he's a really good actor.
Yeah, he did. He still sounded pretty Isamu-ish in Macross 30.
Right, right.
Yeah, more so than Basara.
And I really like that guy, like Takumi. I think he's a really genuine, kind of funny. He's almost like one of those Japanese celebrity guys that you see on
TV,
variety
talk shows.
Yeah, because he's always like making Takumi jokes, right?
Right, right.
Like when like playing off the host or inserting a snarky comment in the background, you know?
Right.
And I like that kind of playful attitude because it contrasts well with Ishizuka's really old. I should note for people who don't know who it is we're talking about that Takumi and Ishizuka, I don't know what their age difference is exactly, but they're at least 10 or maybe 15 years
separated.
No, a lot more, I think. Ishizuka was old even in Macross Plus.
Okay.
You're going to look it up now?
I can pull it up. Keep talking.
Yeah. So there are two completely different classes of people, you know?
Right.
One of them is a renowned stage actor.
So Yamazaki.
Yamazaki is 49? He looks great.
Born in 64, he's 49, yeah. Whereas Ishizuka, Gold...
is 61.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah. No, I mean, you see them on stage and they look like father and son, really.
Right.
And that makes it more entertaining. You know, it's not just... It doesn't look like Gold and Isamu bickering at each other. It looks like these two guys that are like father and son just kind of joking at each other.
Right.
Ishizuka... For those who don't know, played Jet Black in Cowboy Bebop.
Yes.
He played lots of other characters. And I think that he always gives off this very rugged, kind of manly voice. But when you see him as a person, apart from whatever character he may be playing, he just sounds like some old guy who is slightly detached from whatever is...
Right.
Is cool right now or something, but right. But he plays that up to his advantage, you know, that it's kind of cool to be out of touch.
And he's also out of the industry, really. I mean, he's done a few roles since Plus, but it's not that he's... I mean, he's
well known
for being a seiyuu, but he wasn't then, and he still seems to be out of touch with the anime industry as such, you know, like...
Yeah, he doesn't... into it. And he says... He even mentioned that he's forgotten a lot of his voice work.
Right.
But he really, really remembers both Cowboy Bebop and this one.
Right.
Whatever this was called. Macross Plus, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one.
Well, no, someone has to remember it.
He had a lot of mistakes like that. And let's throw this out there. At the end of these things, they always do a photo shoot for the press.
Yeah.
And, you know, like Yamazaki was doing the Isamu flight hand. Like flying hand.
Where you make the VF-19
with your
silhouette
hand.
With your hand.
Right. And he was doing that pose. And Ishizuka's...
And everyone was doing that. Kawamori was doing that. And
Ishizuka doesn't do it. He's like, what the hell is
that? Ishizuka's looking around the other guys going, so what the hell are you doing there?
It's like, what?
And everyone laughs out loud and applauds. Because he's not getting the joke. And like,
yeah.
But Takumi says, wouldn't get it.
Yeah. Right. And that's another cool thing about that. And Takumi is like, just do this. And he puts his
knuckles together
knuckles
with
together.
His thumbs, like Gold piloting.
Like Gold when he was piloting. Okay. Just do this.
Yeah.
That was kind of,
but it was
you had to be there, I guess.
It was interesting because one of the things that Ishizuka said I found quite interesting was that at the time, before he did Macross Plus, he said that was, you know, in the 90s. And late 80s, early 90s, it was a time where Japanese cinema was in decline, where there wasn't much coming out that could compete on the world stage. And he was like, well, what is there for Japanese
creativity,
cinema? You know?
Yeah.
And he's like, when he actually saw the footage from Macross Plus, he was like, well, this is it. Like, Japanese animation is where we compete on the world stage. You know, this is where all
animation.
The creativity went.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really interesting because looking on the big screen, it was amazing. But we'll get to that in a moment. So what else did the guys talk about here? Fear of flying.
Gold doesn't like flying.
Which is why he closes his eyes to pilot, of course.
Right.
But he was saying that when he He didn't like flying. Yeah, he hates planes. He doesn't like flying. And that when he saw how Gold flew, he actually thought that's kind of a cool idea. He's like, well, if you don't have to look around you and you can just fly by feeling it. He's like, oh, that could be cool. But
yeah.
He's like, you wouldn't get me into a plane otherwise.
Yeah, which is ironic because, as we were mentioning before, the host for this was Mr. T himself.
Mr. T.
Tenjin Hidetaka, who loves planes.
Yeah. Well, not to mention Kawamori, that guy. And he was talking about his trip to an Air Force base in the US, right? Where he did some
flying. Yeah, but Takumi also loves planes.
Right.
And, you know, I mentioned how he auditioned for the role of this guy who, you know, Isamu, who is crazy about flying. And he gets his kicks from flying crazy and doing these wild like stunts and everything.
Or riding motorcycles next to buses.
Yeah, yeah. But that's because he's just basically Itami.
Okay.
So Takumi really wanted the role because it was the closest that he was going to get to flying. And he was really miffed, if I can use a Cockney slang.
Right.
When Kawamori was telling that story that he's told a couple of times in the past about when they went to do some research about flying and what trying to experience the G's.
Right, and apparently there is a film out there, some video footage out there from the back of the cockpit where he was, and they were testing how many G's he could take, and he said you could see him going back, and then he blacks out.
That wasn't him. That was Itano.
Was it right. Itano?
He went together with Itano.
Because he was describing the scene, right?
It was Itano that did that.
Itano blacked out, and then as soon as they landed, it was like he could die any moment. And the producer was like, here, draw what it looked like.
Before you pass out, draw
what it looked like.
But, you know, Kilmore also said that, you know, seeing the sky up there above the clouds, he's like, this is what you really want to recreate with Plus.
Yeah, yeah.
That it was this blue that you just don't normally get.
Yeah. And so, like, the voice actor of Isamu, Takumi, was hearing all these stories, you know, after Itano and Kawamori came back from America, and they were like, oh yeah, well, I'm the main character, so obviously they're going to take me to America because
I have Kawamori, to be able to act right. As if I'm experiencing these G's.
Kawamori wanted, you know, he was wanting the characters to be able to sound like they're speaking through this like 5 or 6 G pressure, right? So that's why you know, there's a couple of scenes in Macross Plus where he's talking like this. And that was, he's trying to recreate all that pressure on his chest or whatever. So Takumi didn't know how to go about doing that. But he thought, well, since they went to America, maybe they'll take me next time.
Right.
And Kawamori just basically said, here you go, here's a pass. Go to Korakuen, where it's basically just, what is it like?
Roller coaster, right?
Yeah, a theme park with a roller coaster. And so he's like, yeah, it's not the same. You know, a roller coaster, really? And you get to go on a fucking plane, and I'm like, in a roller coaster. And so he's going up and down. And since you go around so many times...
You got used to it, right?
He got used to it. So it's like plummeting down, however big it was. And he was like, yeah, okay, I guess. Okay, very exciting.
So ultimately, when he did these scenes as Isamu, he said it was just more how he envisioned the pressure of the 2-3 G's being not anything to do at all with the roller coaster. And
but
God damn it, I want to go to America, he said.
But yeah, but then Ishizuka turned around and said, well, they didn't even invite me to the roller coaster. I wish I'd gone to the roller coaster. And Tenjin went like, so you don't want to go to America and fly a plane? It was like, no, I hate planes. No, roller coaster.
Roller coaster's better.
Yeah.
So gold, roller coasters, but no planes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, there was a lot of that back and forth, basically.
It was good.
So Yamazaki also mentioned that, you know, when he was told about this role as, like, Isamu, he was saying how he was determined he was going to do it.
Yeah.
So it's the first time he's ever said in front of his manager, like, this is my role. I'm doing this role.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, what? It was very committed. Like, you don't tell that to your manager.
It's
like you we're waiting for them to, you know, call us back. But, yeah, they spoke a little bit about Plus, and Tenjin was pretty good as an MC. I thought he got into the role. And, but at the end of this talk show, of course, they had a prize drawing.
Yeah. Wait, before that, I want to mention one more thing. They talked a lot about like what the staff was like, and it carried over to Cowboy Bebop, of course, right? There were a lot of staff who worked on Macross Plus that moved over to Watanabe Shinichiro's new show that was going to be the Cowboy Bebop TV show, right?
Including the scriptwriter.
Including the scriptwriter, of course.
Yeah.
And they talked a lot about Kanno Yoko and her music.
Right.
However, they didn't mention... Well, first of all, they didn't mention the scriptwriter, right?
They mentioned how crazy Kanno Yoko was.
They mentioned how crazy Kanno Yoko was. Like, so how do you make the music? Like, Ishizuka, again, being the old man that he was like going like, so I don't understand music. Explain, how do you make this music? And she's like, it just comes to me.
Well, she's like, it just comes out of my head.
It just pops. Yeah, to me.
And he's like,
no, because you got the notes. You got to write notes and stuff, you know. Then you write it down. He's like, no.
And she's like, no, it just comes out of my head.
And Sakamura was saying, you know, people call her like a fairy now, that she's kind of fairy-like, but she wasn't even that back then. You're looking at the calm point of fairy. Yeah, she's much more calm than she used to be. She was insane. She was crazy.
Yeah.
So they talked a lot about her, but they didn't talk about Watanabe Shinichiro at all. And the fact that he wasn't invited, didn't turn up. I don't know about that, because I always felt that it wasn't really Kawamori's show as much as it was Watanabe's
right.
directorial thing, really.
No, you're
I don't know sure. how they split the workload. I know that Kawamori did storyboards, but then I think
Kawamori did the storyboards, but he was listed as the chief director,
right?
Whereas Watanabe was the director.
Yeah,
right. Well, like with many things Macross, it seems that post Frontier, Kawamori is kind of really stepping in and saying, "Well, this is I'm going to take responsibility for this. This is all me."
Well, yeah, and that's what he mentions in the book that we were talking about. Whenever that was, the book, the Kawamori Vision Creator, whatever it's called. Yes, that's right. That's right. You know, he said that it might sound like he's being very arrogant to go back and relabel shows, putting his name all over it. But it's not. It's more like he's trying to take responsibility for it, to invite critique so that it can be directed at him.
Rather than anyone else. It definitely has.
Yes.
Yeah, it's...
Whether or not he admits to it, who knows.
Oh my god, he's the George Lucas of anime.
Right.
Well, honestly, he's
we're going to talk about
quickly
changes.
Becoming that, but yeah.
Well, yeah, kind of. Yeah.
So, was there anything else you want to mention?
No, you were going to talk about the prize draws.
The prize draw, well, they had a raffle going by seat number in the cinema. And they had four prizes. So, Renato, I'm not quite sure. The first two, they said, like, a bag of stuff to do with the 21 and about stuff to do with the 19. Was that what they were? Like,
oh, yeah.
Respective voice actor, they said it's a collection of 19 stuff or it's a collection of 21 stuff. I wasn't sure what's in the bag.
No, we don't know because they didn't show it. They didn't show anything. They just described what was in the bag. Luckily, we got to see a photograph of one of them.
Well, so one person won stuff to do with the 19. Someone else won something to do with the 21. And whatever was in those bags was autographed. We know that. Someone else won the poster, that thing that is apparently a bit busy, that they made just for the event, which was based on the box art for the Blu-ray box set.
Yeah.
And it was autographed by everyone, except for the fact that Ishizuka apparently missigned, and he scribbled over it and fixed his own signature.
Yeah.
And then the fourth person won
a
bag which had apparently 3 cells in it.
Yeah.
From Big West's vaults. They were originals, and then one was a 19 cell, one was a Sharon Apple cell, one was Isamu with his helmet on. Like, obviously.
Yeah, but we only know this because whoever won put it on Twitter or something.
No, Tenjin put it on Twitter.
Oh, really?
Afterwards, yeah. He's
okay.
These are what we dug up. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
and I was just like, wow, that's quite a prize. Damn.
Yeah, because I was really wondering what kind of cells there were going to be.
Hmm.
Like,
I was hoping it would
Morgan.
Be
Morgan.
Oh, it could be all the wires hanging from the ceiling before they drag Mune up, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, so we got through that, and then, well, they played the movie.
Yeah, and then they played two other movies.
And the end. So Macross Plus, let's get into this, guys. Just the opening shot, that pan down over the concert auditorium, I was like, wow, detail.
Yeah.
Richard, come in and join us with this. What did you think?
Okay, because I saw it, I didn't see it last night, I didn't see it with the talk show, I saw it last week, and I totally freaked out because I thought I had missed it, but it turned out they were playing it more times than I originally thought. So I got tickets last Friday, or last Saturday. So I the video was amazing. I mean, seeing Macross Plus on a big screen, and the screens of Vault 9 are big.
This was a fairly decent screen they had it on. I've seen anime screen on much smaller screens.
Yeah.
And bear in mind, this is, you say 4:23 or 4.3? It's not 16:9.
But it wasn't 4:3 either.
It wasn't widescreen.
It definitely wasn't widescreen.
It seemed too wide to be 4:3 to me.
Well, I think it was
4:3. I think it was 4:3 too. Okay. It seemed TV size. But yeah, seeing it on a big screen, it was incredible. I was blown away by the visuals. The audio was good. I know Bonson was saying he thought the audio was lacking. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
What did you guys think?
Well,
I thought it was good.
They were pumping the 5.1 a lot in the lead up to this theatrical screening, and I actually thought... I wasn't that impressed by the 5.1 compared to the 5.1 mix for Do You Remember Love?
Or that's the
Frontier movie.
That is true.
Right.
There wasn't as much separation between the channels,
right.
I found. As many distinct sounds coming from around you.
However, they did do something interesting with the music itself.
Mm-hmm.
That they separated the channels within the tracks themselves. Which means that some of the musical elements were coming from the front speakers and some of the other stuff were coming from the back speakers.
Right, right.
Which I don't think they've ever done in any Macross movie, 5.1.
Hmm.
But
especially not FB7, which is all really, really cheap. Like, mostly the Macross 7 parts, because they put the song in the rear speakers and everything else is just stereo.
So, but yeah, for me... at least visually, as soon as like Isamu took off and reached the atmospheric ceiling and you got the Kawaiiko-chan line, I was like, okay, I'm just gonna like sit back and be in heaven for a couple hours. Now you guys are really weak.
What?
You guys are weak.
Oh.
Because they showed three movies.
Well, so they showed two movies.
They showed...
and one false movie when I went.
When I went last week, because the thing is, it depended on which day you went or which night you went. They always showed Macross Plus first, followed by Do You Remember Love, followed by... one of the two Frontier movies, depending on which night you went. For me, it was Wings of Farewell, which I have already seen in the theater multiple times. So I was kind of hoping when I got the ticket, because I didn't know which one it was until I showed up. I was kind of hoping it was going to be The False Diva, just because I hadn't seen that in the theater before. On the other hand, Wings of Farewell is a better movie, so I was a little conflicted. But yeah, so I stayed from 11 o'clock at night until 5:30 in the morning for all of this to finish. Okay. You guys left after Do You Remember Love?
But we were there from 10, though, because we had the talk and everything.
I mean, the fact of the matter was we went and got breakfast and then came back. But, I mean, Do You Remember Love? I mean, once again, it was the Blu-ray version again.
Which I had never seen before. So okay. For me, I was really surprised by a lot of it. It was the reds and yellows were really highlighted.
I felt that the more out of focus scenes actually didn't stand out to me as much. I mean, they're still obvious, but because I knew they were going to be there, they kind of didn't hit me as much. But going back to Macross Plus, I mean, with that opening, as you said, you know, he hits the atmospheric ceiling. I was just seeing, thinking, this is great, but you know what? Now I really wish they have just played all four episodes because I want that opening.
Right.
Yes,
want to see that knife.
The bayonet.
But this is one thing, right? Before they played the movie, Tenjin...
No, they played the Cheryl commercial. The figure commercial.
We talked about that already. Before they played the movie, Tenjin... And this is during the talk show. Tenjin and Takumi were talking about... it's been 18 years and blah, blah, blah. And so they wanted to know how many fans of Plus had seen it in the theater when it first came out 18 years ago.
And we have to make a point here that from what I've... As far as I know, it was a really limited screen.
It was, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And a few people put their hand up.
Not that many.
There was actually a kind of a joke that they had between the two of them because, Takumi said something like, I'm sure that there's people who weren't even born when this movie first came out. And then Tenjin said, well, actually...
This is over 18 only?
Yeah. Just because of the time, not because of the content, but because of the time that this is being shown, basically all night, you can't have minors inside the theater. Not that over 18 is not a minor. I guess
20. Over 18. No, it was the ticket said 18.
The ticket said 18 or over, right?
Right.
Yeah. So if there are under 18s, then it's kind of like yabai, man. Yeah. But then they asked, so who's watching this for the first time? Who's watching Macross Plus for the first time? And quite a lot of people put their hands up, mostly women.
There were women when you saw it?
There were women. Yeah.
Wow, there weren't many when I saw it.
Really?
Yeah. No, it was mostly like guys in their 30s and 40s.
There were couples when we went.
What do you reckon the ratio would have been? When we saw it? Like,
no, I wasn't paying attention.
20% female, you reckon, another?
It was at least that.
Okay. I would say it was like 90% male when I saw it.
Right.
And also, just to put things in context, the size of the cinema was probably about a 500 seat cinema. Mm-hmm. Something like that. Yeah.
The place was half full when I
went.
We were full to brim.
Like, at most, it was half full.
Really?
And and as the night went on, it just got smaller and smaller.
Right.
But I did... After Macross Plus, I did go to the smoking room, and there were two guys talking there, and one of them had seen Macross Plus for the first time and was like talking to his friend and saying, "Wow, the dynamic between Isamu and Gold, it's really kind of the same as like Gamelin and Docker."
Yes, it is identical.
I really wanted to break in and say something, but I didn't.
Like, what could you even begin with?
What planet were you born on?
But yeah, so overall, I mean, I think I need to point out, and I think you said something similar, Renato. I hadn't watched the movie edition in ages.
Me neither. No.
Me neither.
I'm way more familiar with the OVAs.
I watched the OVAs fairly recently, a few months ago.
Right.
Because I got them on Laserdisc.
Right.
So I was checking out to see if they would work.
How did the visual quality compare to you? Like, as Rich and I
to
both
Laserdisc?
No, like, we both saw this additional detail that we had seen.
Well, to
before,
be honest,
right.
To be honest, I wasn't as impressed as you guys. I don't know why. I was just expecting a lot more. I was expecting to be blown away, and I wasn't blown
like
away.
When you saw FB7.
Yeah, it wasn't as good as FB7. No, I mean, the clarity in the Macro 7 remaster, I think, is just a couple of notches above this one. I don't know why. That's what I felt.
Really?
Having said that, I really, really can pick out the details where there's there's like reflections in the water, in the in the like when they're at the, not Griffith Park, but whatever that thing was called.
Star Hill.
Star Hill, yeah. When they're looking in, into the distance, you can see that they've actually animated the sunset reflecting off in the water. The city lights in the background. Those are all little tiny, tiny flashing dots, and they are actually flashing. So there's lots of details there that just get blurred out on any version of home video, including DVD. So, yeah, I like that. I wasn't completely blown away. It was really the sound that really... I thought it was really good in a lot of places and odd in a lot of other places.
Speaking of sound, Richard, you said something about there being an edit?
Yes.
Well, there's lots of edits.
Okay, but for me, the one that really stuck out was that there's the bit in the middle of Idle Talk, which is kind of a dirty line. If you listen to the song, you might hear it. Yeah. And that line in English, and that line is entirely cut out of that scene in the movie. It's when
now, which scene is it in?
It's when Jan is hacking into Cheryl. Yes, exactly.
I mean, because I didn't notice it was missing.
Oh well, for me it was like I remember having the soundtrack, like the CD, and like. Realizing that there was something said in that part of the song and having to turn the sound way, way up, like basically blowing my eardrums out in order to figure out what that was.
And you've got to wonder how they found out. I mean, not having native English speakers on staff and an English part that it took English speakers 10 years to realize was in the soundtrack.
Right.
Wait. I mean... There may be lots of reasons that they took it out.
George Lucas.
No. They might still not have known what it meant and just thought that it would be confusing to have lots of vocal tracks on top of the other. Because as you said, Jan was hacking into Sharon Apple and therefore he has lines, right?
Right.
There's a song going on in the background which has vocals, like actual singing vocals, right?
Right.
In pseudo-French. And on top of that, you've got this other vocal thing in English, and something that is not done in general in animation is to have two vocals at the same time. Mm-hmm. So three is really overkill. And like I said, they were re-editing most of these music tracks by their original channels, right? They're separating the channels of the original mixes of the tracks themselves, not just the actual soundtrack. Yeah, so it could be that they were... increasing some elements and bringing some elements to the front, bringing some other elements to the back, maybe cutting some out entirely. In particular, the song which is, I don't even remember what it's called, the one that goes boop, 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 that all that stuff is coming
Bad
from
dog,
different...
No Biscuit?
No, that's...
that's Cowboy Bebop. Yeah.
That's... Bah, 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 bah. I just heard...
We're going to release our own OST now. Thanks for another.
That's right. So
Renato performs Yoko Kano.
Renato sings Yoko.
Yes.
Do you remember Yoko?
So there are many reasons that they could have taken it out.
They might not even be out. It could just be that it's moved to a different speaker and at a lower frequency than you're used to, and so you just didn't pick it out. Because, like you said, originally you didn't notice it until you heard the soundtrack. Right. And listen to something in the background. So, you know, it might just throw you off.
But the problem is that after I found it on the soundtrack...
You couldn't stop hearing it.
I know. Yeah.
I know how you feel.
It's like kind of like anything where it's like as soon as someone points it out to you, you see it everywhere.
So my big thing was... Well, there's a couple. One of them is, you know the scene where they're on the beer garden rooftop restaurant thing?
Yeah.
And Kate is...
The dino bird.
Yeah. So, I don't remember. As I said, I haven't seen the movie version in a long time before that. But I don't think that they changed the background music. If they did, then just forget this.
No, they didn't.
Between the series and the movie.
Yeah.
In the series, at least, it was...
Yeah, whereas in the movie, it's like the... Right?
I don't know. But in this movie...
You guys take this on the road.
In this movie, it was a completely different track that I'd never heard before.
No, it wasn't.
Well, I've never heard it before.
It wasn't anything that surprised me. Let me put it like that.
Alright, well, we'll watch the Blu-ray and find out. Or even, I'll watch my Laserdisc again. Anyway, there's a couple of things that really did bug me, and that was the playback speed. It seemed like everything was up-tempo.
I didn't notice it.
But Richard noticed it in some scenes.
I noticed it in one scene that you mentioned.
Yeah,
but it wasn't anything that really struck me.
And I think it's got something to do with BD playback on theater screens. I don't know why.
I made a go once she gave me BD. What?
Is it Osharia Macross BD?
That's the one.
Yes.
Osharia Macross BD is just like the Megazone crossover.
That has nothing to do with the Macross Plus BD, though. It's more to do with the cinema thing, because the Macross Do You Remember Love showing also had sped up music. In particular, the ending... of an Angel's Paints, where she says 1, 2, da 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 da, and that is quite fast.
Okay, but
you keep looking at me like I'm a crazy guy. You know?
Well, apart from the fact that you are,
not for this reason. Though.
Is this not something like? Have you watched the Blu-ray recently? Because
yes, I have.
That very scene is one that they admitted they've done a lot of.
It is changes not faster.
To. Okay, I didn't notice it. I think it was the drugs. Maybe
what drugs?
Whatever you're on, man.
Like Sharon Apple. She was brainwashing me.
But yeah. All right. Well, I mean, Adrian, what do you think?
You got one of those t-shirts over there, right?
Say what?
Look who's awake. Welcome back to Land of the Living.
Yeah, sorry. We're only talking about
Dreams of Ishtar.
Renato sang me to sleep. With this Sharon Apple.
That was Giggle's rendition. Of-
Let's news.
Let's news. No, it looked great.
Working to restore power.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think you can't up the quality of that production more than it already is without a full restoration. So it already looked good when it was originally scanned back then because it was already a high quality production. So.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, all it was is some cleanup and just re-engineering on the audio. That's it. So it's...
But the big question is, which line is funnier? Suditing da.
Oh, God.
Or.
Did you say faster?
Oh, brother.
Well, now that we have the dub, we can actually compare.
Right.
So.
Oh, this didn't have subtitles.
No subs.
Oh my God, panic button.
Confirm,
no subtitles.
Woo!
I don't know. I just thought it was fine. When I go and watch anime, I'm not there trying to find every little loose hinge, and I just sit there and enjoy it. So
I was trying to see if I found anything different about it. I wasn't trying to like take it apart,
but I've never watched the movie edition that many times where I would have noticed. But
well, and also the US version of the movie edition was just terrible. The picture quality was terrible. It was bad on VHS, and then they just did a VHS dump for the DVD, so the DVD was just as bad, if not worse.
Awesome. I mean, it was bad to where you knew it was bad back in the day when nothing was like HD quality.
Right,
it just looked
exactly
crap.
What do you think about the movie itself? I mean, we haven't really talked about it.
I think the movie... Well, I mean, we're going to do a Macross Plus cast, so...
At some point,
something we can talk about at length, but... I think it actually gels as a movie. The only thing, I just don't like how certain scenes happen prematurely.
Yeah.
Compared to the, original video
animation.
The reason
I brought up Tengen asking the audience who is seeing it for the first time... is because it made me realize that actually there's a lot of people who are seeing it for the first time here, right now. And I wanted to somehow see what they're seeing. You know? I wonder what it's like to see this for the first time. So I had already put myself in a strange position to kind of view it not from a guy who knows this movie inside out, but what would it be like in 2013 to see this? Without any explanation whatsoever, without having seen the 4 episodes, And it is really confusing. All these scenes are strung together, and they're all so short, and they keep changing location, they keep changing the focus of the characters, and there's no real explanation at the beginning as to what is happening, who are these people. They drop hints, but
you don't really get that sense that there's like this, it's like a, you know, test competition. No. You don't really get that in that version.
Well, it's always funny that Macross Plus is often brought up as a good gateway drug.
Right.
To people to get them into Macross because they don't need to know Macross to understand it. Well, I think that works for the OVA version.
Right.
But for the movie version, it presumes you know the OVA version, so I actually think that the movie version's a bad introduction.
The movie was written first.
Right. But
well, that's not to say they used the first draft of the script for the movie.
True.
For the pacing, you know, and it was, flow.
What you want to say is it was planned as a movie.
One thing that occurred to me, which I mentioned to Gwen last week, when I was really strung out and sleepy as everyone else is today.
No, we were fine.
You were fine last week. You know, you were fine last week.
I was snug as a bug in bed by 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah, no, just as I'm fine today. And you guys are all strung out. But one thing that occurred to me as someone who has seen Macross Plus many, many times, and this was the first time it occurred to me, is that is Isamu like a 60-second man or what? Because it's like, okay, so Myung kind of like weirds out Kate when they're at karaoke together. So Kate goes and calls Isamu and Gold.
Yeah.
Right? Isamu gets pissed off that Kate
has called.
She doesn't call
him in the movie.
She does.
She doesn't call Gold in the movie.
No, but she mentions Gold. She mentions Gold to Isamu, which pisses off Isamu.
Right.
So Isamu hangs up the phone.
Yeah.
Myung overhears Kate.
Yes.
And runs away. Yeah. And calls a taxi. And goes to the...
And even that scene is jarring because...
Yeah,
you don't see her
run.
Calling the taxi.
Yeah. Right. She's just suddenly in the taxi like, what happened to Kate?
Right. So Isamu is so pissed off that he calls up Lucy and goes out on a date with her.
Yeah.
So... Yes. So... Myung then goes to the concert hall to...
Do something to sleep. To self-pity herself.
Yeah, and Isamu goes out with Lucy and kind of like runs around on the pier and comes on to her and she says, yeah, let me take a shower first. And
that's the sexiest line Megumi Hachibara has ever said, by the way, but yeah.
Probably, yeah.
There's a couple in Cowboy Bebop that are pretty steamy, man.
Anyway... Gold suddenly gets the call saying in 30 minutes
the fire will break out in the concert hall.
Yes. And then Isamu is in bed with Lucy. They have already had sex.
And she's exhausted.
And they're both exhausted. And then he gets the call.
Yeah. In 30 minutes.
How long did they actually have sex for?
How long was that date?
How long did it take Myung to get to the concert hall and fall asleep? Because it's like, this is all happening way too quickly.
Well, you know what they say about guys who fold too often, you know.
I don't think there was enough time for Isamu to satisfy Lucy, is basically what I'm saying.
Well, that's not the issue here, is it? that's an entirely different topic. Was Isamu satisfied with the evening's activities? I think he was,
but Lucy appeared to be satisfied, and I don't think there was enough time for that.
I think she looked sleepy, but anyway.
Well, she was probably so drugged out.
The Blu-ray box set does come out, this month?
Next month.
Next month?
Yeah, it's June.
June 21. According to the clear file that we got.
Yeah.
Another clear file to add to the collection.
Yeah. So busy.
I want pencil boards. I don't want these clear files anymore.
No, are you lying?
Huh?
Are you?
Am I joking? Yeah. No, really. I mean.
No. I'd rather
clear pencil files. Boards. They're so 90s.
You of all people should be like, supportive. Of what
I'm just judging you against your own principles.
Just my own principles.
Yeah. They've started off, with the Oshare Macross events doing art cards, what they call, which
the Oshare VD events.
Yes, yeah. There is a card this big with the art as opposed to clear files, and I was hoping that's a trend that's going to catch on. Not for this event, though.
No, I use clear files. I think they're quite useful.
I don't use them; I just collect them.
Exactly. Thank you for being normal like me, Richard.
Don't use them and collect them. That's normal. No, it's not.
Yes, it is. For something like this. But anyways, so any final comments? Because everyone else will be able to see this then when it comes out end of next month.
Yeah, I was happy to see Macross Plus. I was happy to see Do You Remember Love on the big screen. That was pretty amazing, although unfortunately, again, it was the Blu-ray edition.
Nothing's ever going to top that one time I saw the 35mm print in Roppongi.
Oh, screw you.
That was, as I've told the story before, I got off a plane from a business trip with my suitcase, went straight to the cinema. It was just pure coincidence, the timing worked.
Yeah, I'm not sure I really liked the Blu-ray edition of mm-hmm. Do You Remember Love. Mm-hmm. I don't like the fact that you can actually see Claudia in the restaurant/bar scene before she opens her eyes.
Well, that's just nostalgia, really.
Yeah,
you're
no.
You're nostalgic for the original VHS.
I'm nostalgic for the version I've been watching for almost 30 years now. And seeing a different version was really weird.
Right, right. You're basically saying, I prefer the blurrier, crappier, darker version.
Yeah. I guess I am. For me, it's always been a visually dark movie, and to see it brightened up, especially with all the reds and yellows.
What did you think of the opening? Well, the title screen where the SDF-1 was coming out of the shadow.
There was too much. There were too many red lights.
I knew you were going to say that. Everyone says that.
Yeah. Like, and the same thing every time they showed like a space scene. There were too many red stars.
You're not getting it because on that Nickel special, as when Tenjin was explaining when he drew the Macross, like no matter how he drew it, Kawamori was like, need more red lights.
Huh.
Yeah.
Because that they're supposed to look like the top of skyscrapers in Tokyo, where the red lights are to stop planes from flying into them.
That said, it was great when Skull Team was launching.
Yeah,
that you could tell exactly who was launching when.
Right.
So the first plane you see, I think, was actually Kakizaki's.
Yeah.
That was kind
of
cool.
A lot of that, they did actually repaint digitally.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I noticed that, because there's that weird scene when, towards the end, when Hikaru's talking to Minmay and trying to convince her to sing, and then that one Valkyrie comes out. Like guns a-blazing and gets blown up. And everyone always thought it was one of the brown cannon fodder ones until someone, like, took a picture of it and it looked exactly like Kakizaki's. And I noticed in the Blu-ray that it was kind of a combination of both, where it was like the arms were brown, but the rest of it was Kakizaki's.
If you look at the squadron sign symbol, it's got a green arrow on it. So fans have since then called it the Green Arrow Squadron Valkyrie.
Okay.
You can actually see one in the hangar before the big.
Yeah, I've seen that one. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what it was.
Okay.
All right.
And I stayed all night.
Oh god damn.
And I watched Wings of Farewell. Yeah. These guys ditched after. Do You Remember Love?
Well, once again, compared to the false diva, if it was Wings of Farewell, I would have stayed.
I wouldn't have.
And I will say that a lot of people left after Do You Remember Love when
the
I
cinema
saw it.
Was, and I don't want to bitch, but it was really hot and stuffy, and there's no.
It was cold when I went.
Well, I don't know. Renato summed it up great. It was like being on a flight.
That's okay.
It felt like. Yeah, I felt like I was on an airplane.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of did too, just because I didn't have any leg room.
I don't know. It's just it was really warm in there at times.
Well, it's just there were more people in. We were packed to the brim to capacity.
Right. Yeah. Whereas for me, it was again half full, so the sound was a little too loud.
At times, especially some of the explosion noises, treble.
That's the only thing that kept me awake during the last half of Wings of Farewell. Actually,
It's funny, Renato saying it was packed to capacity.
Yeah.
You know, we got there just early enough to say hi to bunch of fans and, you know, people we know.
Yeah.
And they were all aware of the announcement that had been made that morning that we're going to have, you know, Tengen and Gold's voice actor. Thank you. But when they, because Tengen introduced people, he introduced Takumi, but then when he introduced Ishizuka, like, there was a reaction from the audience. A lot of people didn't know who was going to be there.
Hmm.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was because they'd announced it that morning. So I thought it was really interesting because all the fans I knew already knew, but maybe save one or two. But yeah, a lot of the crowd there didn't know. And they were like, really? But, whoa!
Right.
It's like, yeah, okay. That's pretty
What's Myung's voice actress doing these days?
I think she was still a voice actress.
She's the bass for Virtual Idol. Hatsune Miku. Sorry. Alright then, so before we close this out, guys, I just want to make a couple of quick comments about the future of the podcast. And now that I can't say the 30th anniversary is winding down, now that there are substantially less events than last year to talk about. No reaction? Okay, I'm good. We are going to start finally get into our series and OVA cast. So I won't call them reviews.
Which is one of the things that we were planning to do from the beginning.
I won't call them reviews. They're going to be about, you know, the series. Anyone with a microphone can sit there and record, well, A happened, then B happened, and I like this Valkyrie. That's not what we're here to do. And any fool
Who
with
are you
Skype,
talking about?
Any fool with Skype can get on and talk to someone else about it. I refuse to do, as a policy of this podcast, a series or an OVA cast where we, unless we can add something original, something unique to the dialogue.
You've basically insulted every podcast out there right now.
We can all go jump.
No, I disagree, because that guy that, he does the video podcasts. I don't remember the name.
Yeah, that guy.
Oh, that guy in the glasses?
Is that
the guy? They go on
the Anime Abandoned?
Yeah, the Anime Abandoned one, right?
Yeah.
Who
is great if he's talking about an anime that I hate, but if he's talking about an anime that I like, I can't.
Well, just for an example, of course, I had to watch his Macross 2 review.
Mm.
And it was a good review because it wasn't like just a fan's review. He never even mentioned there was only the bridge of the SDF-1. None of those key elements were there.
Mm-hmm.
He just picked it apart on how it was a bad animation and the bad things about it. And then if you're a Macross fan, then you should watch it. If you're not a Macross fan, skip it. That was a good review. Because he didn't even cover like the stuff that, he didn't mention this and he didn't mention this. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He actually knows what he's talking about considering a story.
I didn't have an issue with that. And Richard, just to give you some context, because I used to do video game podcasts before this, and there was always a new game review or impressions from an event or multiplayer experiences. There was always something new. And when you get to anime that's been around for this long, everyone's just, there's public knowledge out there, there's Wikipedia, and everyone's going to be saying the same thing. It just, over time, that's what it breaks
it
down.
It just depends on how cleverly you say it.
You say it, right. So
no one's figured that out yet. I can assure you that. I swear to God.
So our goal here is to add something new. So whether that be we pull an essay or a book that people don't have in English to refer to, whether we get special guests, whether we or go if we and have film like something.
Five Macross 2 novels, for example.
Yeah. Or whether we include the expanded universe. We are going to do things that are original and unique and I think will stand the test of time so that people can come back when people...
Renato is not a believer.
In 2020, when people are like, who is this Ishtar? They know that
mean in 2013 when people are like, who is this Ishtar, right?
We are going to be the people they listen to. But no, the point is, you know, we want to get people on who can say stuff, or if it's non-English, do some kind of interview. Just bring something new to the dialogue, because I'm sick of people coming to something and just saying the same thing everyone else has said. I want to... We're not going to do this unless it's worthwhile. That's my point. We're very drawn out point. Right. So look forward to it. These things, they may be split across two casts. They may be split across three. We don't know yet. These things tend to snowball and take a while. But the big announcement is, of course, that we're going to start with the podcast about the Macross that only we can start off with. We're not going chronological. We're not going production order. We're starting off
as Renato wishes we were doing it chronologically.
With the only thing we can do, Adrian.
Chirojiku Yosai, Macross 2, Lovers Again.
This show...
Don't you want to get it out of your system?
If I make it through this...
We might also...
You think it's going to be one recording?
And for you chick flick lovers, we might also be talking about the 1959 classic film Roman Holiday.
Is that like White Rose Campus and everybody gets raped?
No, it's nothing like that, actually.
Oh, okay. But Macross 2 is like that, apparently. Yes. So we'll get...
All right. If everyone means the audience.
Certainly the latter half,
yeah. Yes. If everyone means the audience.
So let's wrap this up, guys. We hope our listeners, hopefully we get some new ones on iTunes, have enjoyed the cast. And we will be doing our best to hit any new events in the future. We'll be continuing like Macross in the future. And I look forward to our series and OVA reviews. So until then, this is Macross Speaker Podcast, folding out.
Yamayo, Gingayo, Ore no Tokuke.
Come on, all everyone really remembers is.
Bum! Bum! Bum!
Blow my
bum, 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 bum! Dun! Dun!
This show is awful.